Well, I want to repeat something Michael said that's very important. And you'll be reminded of it as you begin to speak. Because remember that whatever you speak out of your heart, you create your circumstances. And a lot of us have, we have some wrong beliefs. But your wrong beliefs are in your head. Because in your heart knows the truth. In fact, that was a promise from the old covenant that there will come a day when I will take out your stony heart, I will give you a heart of flesh, I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. When I realized the true value of that verse, I used to walk around saying, God, cause me to walk. Cause me to walk, not just know or believe, but cause me to walk in the kingdom. A lot of preachers will tell you, you cannot trust your heart because your heart is deceitfully wicked. I hope you don't believe that about yourself. Amen. Because it's not true. You have been given a new heart, and that heart is only looking for one thing, and that is the reality of the kingdom of God being manifested in you and me. That's your heart's cry. And your thinking may try to drown that out. All the noise that Mike talks about may try to drown that out. But if you're ever quiet and you ever still that mind of accusation or whatever's going through your mind, you will feel your heart reaching out to know the truth. One thing that helped me realize the truth of my being was to know that the scriptures were simply a story of me. The scriptures are truly your story. You are an Adam and Eve, you're a Cain and Abel, you're an Isaac and an Ishmael. Everything in the scripture, when you begin to be opened, you'll have an understanding, that's me. Amen. Cain, the natural, what we call soulish or egotistic life, will always try to kill Abel, the spiritual life. Mm-hmm. There will always be a war going on the inside of you until you realize the war is over. I was in a lot of spiritual warfare for a few years. And if people would tell me there was no demons, I'd say, you can't tell me that because I seen them. I fought them. But once my consciousness was elevated to know the truth, I can't find any demons anymore. The only demons that I can find anymore are those little red things that Michael calls demons, the thoughts that try to bring you into guilt and condemnation and tell you all the lies about your being. That's the only devil you'll have to fight. One of the things, like I say, that helped me was to realize that the Bible is my story. We all walk through those different characters and faces until we walk into the kingdom of God. There's a scripture in Isaiah 9:6 that says, unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given. Now that's true of you. It's not just talking about Jesus. Everything in the scripture that would talk about Jesus is also talking about you. Because there is only one life to be lived. There's not two lives. I believe, and I experienced for years, there was two lives that were opposing one another. But there's only one life. My mother had a child, but a son came from the very realms of glory and entered into this physical body. I was a son given. You are a son given to this world. That's who we are. That's why Mike can say, you're not really a human being, you're a God being. You're a human being in your mentality and in your thoughts. You consider yourself as human, and you say, I can't possibly do what Jesus did, and you're so right. You can't. But 1 John 3:22 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Not someday. Not that we're looking to the future to someday, you know, become a son of God. But beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we will be, but we know that when he does appear, we shall be like him. Now, I used to think that meant when Jesus splits the eastern sky and I see him, I'll magically become like him. Well, that's the kind of stuff the fallacy of religion teaches you. But when he appears, the only time you will see him when he appears is when he appears within you. And when he appears within you, certainly you will be like him. And you will be a man no longer. All things are a manifestation of the one present. All things. You know, we are all vibrations, and we're all vibrating at different frequencies, different levels. And the lower the frequency, the heavier the density. It's like a rock. There's vibrations coming from a rock, but they're so low, it manifests that rock. But the higher the vibration, the more consciousness and the more awareness we have of our true being. We have been on an ascension process since the day we were quickened in our spirit. It's been it's been a long journey, but it is an ascension journey, and it's an ascension in consciousness. It's an elevation of consciousness. Because again, what you are conscious of, you will be. We had some friends several years ago that, well, let's just say they made lots of money. And after we got to know them, they had several businesses, and one by one, their businesses began to crumble and to go bankrupt until they lost everything. They lost about 11 businesses. They lost their home. They lost their airplane. They lost their car. And this has been back about 1986. And one night, and the most wonderful part about this is I never heard them, and Carol can testify to this, we never heard them complain one time about what they were going through. They just said, we know God's in it somehow. We don't understand it. Don't necessarily like it, but we know God's in it. And I said to them one night, I said, you will regain everything you lost because your consciousness is the consciousness of a person who does well and, you know, and is wealthy. That's your consciousness. And if you hold that consciousness, you may lose it all, but it'll come right back. That is what you're aware of. That's what you're conscious of. Mike talks about his business. If Mike lost that business, something had come along in no time, he'd be right back where he is today because he lives out of that consciousness of being. That's what Jesus did. That's why you can understand why he said of myself, I can't do anything, but all things are mine. I can't do anything, but all things are mine. That's the consciousness that's being awakened across this earth. Last year, I had my highest number of website visitors. We had 90-some thousand visitors, not hits now, but actual visitors to our website from almost 80 countries of the world. There is such an awakening taking place, and people are realizing that their prisons have been their minds. No man can imprison you, but your mind will keep you in a limited consciousness, which will keep you imprisoned and hide the truth away from you. So I can't do anything. Yet all things are mine. That's the truth of. Again, there's only one being, and we are all part of that one being. We can't stress enough that Jesus made the best illustration in the vine and the branches. How could there be one life in this branch and another life in this branch? There's only one life in that branch. And that one life is God, whether you're talking about a physical branch or a spiritual branch, there's only one life, and that one life gives life to all things, no matter what they are. There's only one life. And since there's only one life, and we realize that we are all a part of the one vine that flows forth with the one life, how could we be anything less than what God is? How could that be possible? It's only possible in our darkened mind and understanding. I mentioned the last time we was here, I wrote a 400-page book on coming out of darkness. Paul said, don't be like the Gentiles. Don't walk as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God which is in them due to the ignorance of their heart. Boy, when I saw that verse, that's telling you, you got it all. But due to the ignorance, due to the lack of understanding, due to the lack of revelation, due to the lack of proper ministry that you've had, you've been kept in that darkened place of understanding, not being able to access and live by that life of God. You've been alienated by what you've thought about yourself. That's where your alienation takes place. So a child was born, but a son was given. And today, if we were having children, I say we, my wife, if we were having children, before they were even talking, I'd be sharing with them how they came from God. They are a son of God. They were sent to us from the heavenly realm. And that they're here to display the magnificence, the beauty, the essence of all that God is. Can you imagine raising children that way? And teaching them not to live and walk according to appearances. So I of mine own self, I can't do anything, but all things are mine. How could you add anything to that? You see, and that's the consciousness that Jesus walked in. It wasn't that he was any better than us, that he was a higher being than us. Spiritually, yes. But everything that he had and lived by has been imprisoned within our being. And we've been kept in darkness. We've been kept in alienation, mainly by religious teaching. That's what keeps you in darkness and alienation, because you believe, because Gary believes in whatever. Let's say Gary believes in speaking in tongues, and the Baptists think that's the devil. How could we fellowship? If I believe that the only way you can truly be saved is to be baptized and only in the name of Jesus, how could I ever believe you were saved unless I knew that you were baptized, buried in water under the name of Jesus? The whole program of religion is set up to divide and conquer. And as long as you stay in that mindset of I can't fellowship with you because you don't believe like I do, you talk about living for the devil, honey, you're it. If you cannot, and ministries have done this with us, we cannot fellowship with you because you do not believe right. Well, I'm sorry, but I think there's a problem with what you believe too. Religion has been our greatest help and our greatest hindrance. I say help because, like I said earlier, I learned everything about what not to do in church. That was my greatest help in being able to relate to other people, is by going to church and seeing how everybody was treated in church. And I love church. I like I said this morning, we loved it. We loved church. But now, my heart still goes out to those people, but for me to go there and listen to some of that stuff, I don't think I could. I could if God told me to, I would. Again, judge not by appearance, but judge a righteous judgment. We need to meditate. A righteous judgment. We can see by the appearance, we can see everything that's wrong. But we have to realize, like I shared earlier, God does not hold you accountable for your wrong. So why do we do that? Why do we tell the prostitute, you can't sell your body and be godly? I've got news for you, honey. She already is. She just don't know it. But you're trying to tell her she can't be until she changes her life. They got it all backwards. If any life is to be changed, it'll be changed through the ministry of spirit, not of rules and regulations. I know I've said this before, but when we pastored a church, we welcomed everybody. We don't care if you're gay, if you're whatever you are, it doesn't matter. But I will guarantee you, if you will come and you will sit in this place, you will change. You won't have to try to change. I won't tell you to change. But if you can stay here and you can sit in this atmosphere and be ministered to, you will change. That's what Jesus meant when he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It's not a doctrine. It's not a teaching to try to make you clean up your life. Listen to me. My words will enter into you because they are spirit and life, and they will bring change and reconciliation, and they will raise you in a higher consciousness so that you too can walk and breathe and live and move in the heart of God. That's what a minister does. He doesn't correct you and tell you all the stuff that you need to do to get right with God. You are right with God. You just don't know it. People say, are you telling me people don't need to be born again? Well, something happened to me. I thought I was born again. I was ostracized many years ago because I started ministering to people that God looks at your heart. He don't care a flip about what you believe. What's in your heart? And I shared how that, you know, if you were in India or you were in some other country and all they taught was Buddhism or Hinduism and you had a heart cry for God and you cried out to God, they would receive the same revelation that you have. Without ever knowing the name of Jesus, without ever hearing about Jehovah, without ever knowing about the Elohim, because it's a matter of the heart. You have to see that. You have to see that God don't care about what you believe. But what do you have to, what is your hunger? What is your desire? If it's for God, you got it made. You might be going through some struggles. But God knows the end from the beginning. I want to share something with you that's one of the most difficult lessons that I ever learned. But it brings the most beautiful results that you could ever imagine. And that is the power of non-resistance. Don't resist. Don't resist other people's religion. Don't resist their beliefs. We've been taught a lot of bogus things, even about, you know, some of the other religions of the world. There was a Hindu man one time that somebody asked him, because he was a godly man. I mean, he oozed the love of God. Yet the person talking to him couldn't understand, how could that be? And he said to this Hindu, he said, "You're such a wonderful man. Why do you worship so many gods? But they have, you know, little gods all over the place." And the man looked at him and he said, "Oh, brother," he said, "you misunderstand." He said, "There's only one God, but there's many manifestations of that one God. And each one of those represents a manifestation of the one God." We don't say anything about Catholics having a statue of the Virgin Mary. We don't ostracize them for that. But yet, something we're not at all familiar with. Gautama Buddha. He had some of the most spiritual, uplifting sayings that you'll ever hear. He was one of the most godly men on the earth. And it's not his fault that they built a religion out of what he was trying to say. But look at what Christians have done. You remember that serpent on the pole? After a few years, they began to worship that image, that serpent on the pole, and God told them to destroy it. What have Christians done? They've worshiped the representative of the serpent. They've worshiped the man and not got his message. Don't resist. If you get, oh, this is so hard to hear, but it's so liberating. I've been there many times. If a doctor brings you in and says, "You've got cancer," or "You've got whatever it is," anything, the worst possible thing you can do is begin to resist that. Because I can promise you, the more you resist, the more it becomes evident in your life. The more you resist people, if you think you have enemies and you resist your enemies and you think about what they've done to you, you enforce the power that they have in your life. Don't resist people's opinion of you. Don't try to defend yourself. I won't share this again, but I shared in a meeting a couple months ago some of the stuff I went through that I learned not to resist. Some horrible, horrible things that I experienced while I was learning to not resist. Because, again, what you focus on, you're going to bring into manifestation. You will. And as Michael said, please watch the words of your mouth because they shape your life. Say what you really believe. Don't say what your mind tells you, but I had to do this. I had to really do what the church tells you not to do, an introspection. I had to, do I really believe the scriptures? Do I really believe God? And deep down inside, I knew I did. And I'm talking about around probably the late 70s. I began to speak what I knew the truth was. Without any experience, I just knew that I knew it was true. And I began to speak what was true of my being. Not publicly, of course. But I would just get alone, I'd say, Father, I'm so thankful to know that I am your manifestation on the earth. I had no sense, but I knew it was true before I ever experienced it. And item after item after item, I just seen melt away from me. When I began to change my thinking and change my speaking to what I knew to be the truth, my consciousness began to evolve and expand. But if whatever you resist will persist. It's a hard thing to hear. You really have to hear God speak it to you. But to be able to live a life of non-resistance is the only place where you'll find perfect peace and contentment. Knowing that all things are mine, even before I ask, he's going to answer. I don't need to plead and beg and fast and do all those religious things to try to get God to turn his ear and do something for me. I have to know, not believe, I have to know all things are well. All things are not against me, they are for me. You're not a victim. We have to lose the victim mentality. And if you begin to really meditate on this, you'll begin to discover how much you resist in your daily life. You resist the weather. You resist your neighbor. You resist your wife. I mean, your life up to this point has been a life of resistance. I'd say most of us. But when you relax and just realize it is what it is. The doctor says you have cancer. You know, I was taught in the Word of Faith, we would deny it. I can't deny something that's there. But I don't have to think about it. I have to know that all things are for me. All things work together for my good. There's nothing for me to fret about. There's nothing for me to cry about. It just is what it is. And I continue my daily life in thanksgiving and in loving, especially loving others and being to others. You see, so many people say, nobody's nice to me. I can walk in church and nobody speaks to me. And you ask them, well, how many people did you speak to when you went into church? Well, but you expect everybody to come to you when, if you need love, you need to give love. You need to reach out to people. You need to be a blessing to people. Everything that comes into your life is a result of your consciousness. I love what some of the stuff that Paul ministered. I believe that he was probably the most advanced in consciousness of all the Bible teachers and writers. Yes. And you know, that's why Mike mentioned earlier about there seems to be conflicts in the Word. A lot of times the conflicts are just because some people are at a higher level of consciousness and minister from a higher level of consciousness that seemingly and may contradict what somebody else says, but they weren't all spiritual giants. We've been taught they were. They weren't. They were what we call the apostles. They were men like you and I that had been taught by the master himself. They weren't special men. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Not as a man thinks in his head. So that's why I say, examine your heart. What do you really believe? Because what you really believe in your heart, you will speak and you will become. And you are. You can't become, you can just be. Christ is the true identity of every man, the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Every man, not some men. And I've received so much argument on this, because I say that Christ is in every man. Not Jesus, but the same life, the same nature, the same, you know. Christ is in every man. He was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. Proverbs 20:22 says, the spirit of man is the candle, the light, the effulgence of his glory. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Well, so often that's what we think. And we talk about there's only one Christ. They call him Jesus the Christ. There's only one Jesus and one Christ, and you're not it. But you've got to struggle to be like it if you want to make it. So what do we do? I'm going to read to you what I think is probably some of the best instructions that you can receive. Philippians. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, can you imagine what your life would be like if that was your thoughts? I think we'd discover, without trying, our life would definitely change. And again, it's not the truth that sets us free, it's knowing the truth. What is the truth of your being? What is true about you? Not what you think of you, but what is true of your being? Are you really a son or daughter of God? If you know that to be the truth, that will set you free. And to be set free from the unreligious, or to be free from the religious untruth that we've been taught, we must know the nature of God. I don't think I even have to comment on that, because we've all been taught the wrong concept of the nature of God. So whatever we give our dominant attention to will manifest in our lives. That's why I say, if you give your attention to what is wrong with you, it'll continue in your life. Somehow, by the grace of God, our minds are being opened to the truth, and we begin to change our thoughts. It sounds so easy, and it is, but it isn't. Because you gotta catch yourself, like Mike says. Catch yourself when you say something. Because you believe one thing, but you say something else. It may be true. It may be a fact that you have cancer. But the truth is, you're a son of God, living in the kingdom of God. And when that awareness fully hits us, there will be no sickness. And some of us are fortunate or blessed or whatever. Some of us get healed. You know what happens when you get healed without the consciousness to maintain it? eventually you lose it. Healing is not the answer. And I love healing. I have not, God, heal me now. I mean, it'd be wonderful. But that's not the answer, because if I do not have the consciousness to maintain it, I will lose it. Carol and I was in a church where the pastor and I used to meet every Sunday morning at 4 o'clock, and we'd pray together for 2 or 3 hours. And he told me one morning, he said, Gary, John's going to walk today. Now, he's a guy that we had known for some time, been a part of the church. He was totally paralyzed, couldn't even move his legs. And I said, really? He said, God told me John's going to walk today. That wasn't his name, but that doesn't matter. So church started that morning, and the pastor walked up to John in his wheelchair, and he said, John, God told me you're going to walk today. And John just kind of hung his head. He said, John, you get up out of that chair because you're going to walk today. And John just took that and he said, Pastor, I can't do that. I can't even move my legs. He said, John, get out of that chair. God says you're going to walk today. Well, John said he wouldn't even try. So the pastor, he's a bold little feller, he told two of the ushers, he said, get that guy up on his feet. So two ushers went over, got him under the arm, and picked him up on his feet. And the pastor said, you make him walk. And so they literally drug this guy back and forth. And the pastor kept saying, John, you are going to walk. And eventually, the strength came in his legs. He not only walked, he ran up the steps of the altar. He walked, he went home that day, perfectly healed. Guess what happened? That night, at the 6 o'clock meeting, he came back in a wheelchair. And that's when, I mean, I really asked God about that one. And that's when I understood, if you don't have the consciousness to maintain, you may be free for a year or two, but if you do not have the consciousness of life and life eternally, eventually you'll get sick again and you will die. The only people that have ever entered in without physical death are those who have developed their consciousness to the place where they could walk from one realm to another. And there have been people to do that. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. When we realize that our consciousness, you see, in reality, your consciousness is God. So whatever you believe, you're going to bring forth. You can't stop it. Mike mentioned, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's what you'll become when the mind of Christ begins to form in you. You will become a servant to all. Not just to the people you like, but you'll be a servant to all. Simple illustration of that. Carol and I used to print books for ministries that couldn't afford a publisher. We used to print books free for them. And this one person came against me pretty strong, wrote letters across the country telling everybody I was leading people into the New Age deception. But yet when it came time to have a book printed, they called me and asked me to print their book. Now, what would you do? What would you do? I printed their book. Tell you what, folks, to have that kind of a heart, you can't buy it. Only God can give you the heart that only wants to bless and not curse. There's not enough money to buy that. You can't abuse him. You can't offend him. You can hurt him. I've been hurt deeply without being offended, because you realize people do what they do because they don't understand. They feel every bit as right as you do. And when they come against you, they're coming against what they think is the devil or false teaching, and it's all because of their belief system. They're doing what they believe. How can you hold that against them if they don't know any better? I don't know how to do that. Psalm 19. I used to speak this over and over and over. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. You know, and that's why we will be reminded when our words and the meditation of our heart, our words identify where we're at. And even though we still do it at times, we're very quick now to see and understand where that's coming from and cut it off. Ephesians 4:5. There's one Lord, only one. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. There's one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What have the churches done with verses like this? I wrote a short statement on Facebook a few weeks ago that caused a firestorm. I said, God, by any name, is still the same. It caused a firestorm. What do you mean, God, by any name? Just what I said. Remember, it's not about head knowledge, it's about heart knowledge. Whatever you call God, if you have a heart relationship, whatever you call God, whatever you know or don't know about him, it's still the same. He's still going to love you, he's going to bless you, and he's going to walk you out of your darkness. He'll walk you out of your religious culture. It's all the heart. When you realize it's a matter of the heart and you know, oh my, what you can sense in your heart, then you know that's the truth. I love what Paul said, I no longer live. It's Christ that lives in me. I used to read things like that and I'd cry and I'd say, God, I wish this was true. But see, I didn't know it was true. I wanted it to be true. I prayed for it to be true. Nothing ever happened until my consciousness was expanded enough to realize I don't live. I really don't. Christ lives within me. Now, you can still judge me by appearances, and you'll find a few things that you might be able to judge me for. But it's not me. There's nothing of us. It's all Christ that lives. If you're not living as Christ, you're a living dead man. as long as we are trying to get, to change, or be anything, we are living in a false reality and a false identity. Oh, that's so hard to hear. And especially when you'll hear a scripture that says, y'all lack because you don't ask. Well, remember, there's at least three stages of spiritual growth. A baby asks for everything. A baby looks at their father and that's all he does is ask for what he wants. But then he grows into a young man and he begins to understand that his father takes care of him without him answering. Then when he grows up to be a father, he produces life. It's true spiritually. A child is very selfish and will try to get everything. Ask for everything. So I guess I could say this, as long as we are trying to get, to change, or to be anything, we are still a baby in the spiritual realm. And that's okay. That's not a bad place to be. But we just need to realize that this never stops expanding. Your experience, your being, never stops expanding, and it never will. It never will stop. The source of all that is at the center of our being, simply seeking to flow out. You don't have to prime the pump. You know, I'm not a person that has visions, I think maybe once or twice in my life. But one day we were in church, and you know how the praise and worship leader do, they try to get everybody stirred up. I was in a church one night, and I bet I heard 100 times, come on, somebody, praise God with me, come on, come on, like a cheerleader. And I saw a vision, and it was a vision of an old motor car with a crank, and somebody was cranking the, and I realized that's exactly what they were doing. You see, you don't have to prime the pump. If you carry the Lord's presence, you can walk in a room and people can feel the change. They may not even know what it is, but there's something different. We've been through so much religious teaching. And don't misunderstand me, because I love worship. But you don't have to prime the pump. You just have to let it flow. Job says, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. So where are you going to get your understanding from? The preacher? I don't think so. There is a spirit in man. That spirit in man is the same spirit that raised Jesus from among the dead and did all the mighty works that can be done. And the Spirit is what gives you the inspiration and the understanding of spiritual things. Amen. Can't be done any other way. The Spirit will give you an understanding. Mike said it a different way this morning. He said, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will what? He will guide you into all truth. 1 John said it this way, you have an anointing. And that anointing in you is the truth. And it will teach you all things. And the anointing, your spirit in you, will not lie to you, but it is the infallible guidance system that you can learn to rely on and trust. You have an anointing and know all things. And that anointing within you will teach you all things. Gary, are you telling me I don't need a teacher? Well, you really don't. You just need somebody that can confirm what you're believing. Because you cannot teach this stuff. I used to say religion is like a dog. You take a dog, you dress him up, you put a shirt and a tie on him and set him up at the table. He's still a dog. You can tell him all the, you can teach him all the human traits and what he's supposed to do, and he's still a dog. That's what we've done to humans. People that think they're humans. We dress them up in suits and put them in church and try to teach them to be what they already are and never let them know the truth of their being. Because the preachers don't know it either. And that, you know, I'm not being accusatory there. I mean, there's no judgment. Because a preacher can only do what he's been taught or what he thinks is right. So it's not a bad thing. And it's not a good thing. It just is what it is. Oh, God is so good. The light of the body is the eye in Matthew 6:22. The light of the body is the eye. What do you see? Do you see everything that's wrong in the world? Or can you look past that and know the truth behind the appearance? If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. A single eye, the whole body is full of light. Righteous judgment will give you a single eye when you begin to have a righteous judgment. When we identify with this personal sense of life, we will always feel inadequate and incomplete. I like Mike calls that a personal devil. When we identify with a personal life that is separate from everything else, that's our personal devil that will keep us under accusation, guilt, and condemnation. When you choose your thoughts, you choose your life. And it can be a difficult thing. One key to changing your thoughts is not to fight your thoughts. Because, again, what you resist persists. You don't resist your thoughts. You just let them flow. Because if you don't think about them, you're not going to resist them. If you don't think about them and you don't resist them, they're not going to have any effect on you. The Battle of Armageddon, you know where that is? Right between your ears. That's where it's at. You know where the seals in Revelation are? The seven seals of Revelation are the seven chakras or energy seals over your body. You have a seal over your mind that will keep you from understanding the mind of Christ. You have a seal over your throat that will keep you from expressing Christ. Now, this is just one aspect. There may be many levels of truth there. But we need to learn to maybe start over with the Bible and realize it's a roadmap. And it's who we are. It's showing us the truth of our being. So all the warfare and the battle of Armageddon is to break that seal over your mind so that you begin to have the awareness and you begin to think as Christ on the earth. And the seal is ripped off of your throat so you can begin to express the beauties and the loveliness and the wonderful things of your Creator. And eventually every seal will be broken through warfare. Not that we do. But it's all for our good. It's all to tear down, to unveil us to the truth of being, to break all of the seals that hinder us from operating in the Spirit. Until all of us, this is not a select few, I can promise you, all of us will one day stand in the glorious expression of God. Amen. That's enough. Mike?